If you have your Bible and want to share the reading of the Word with me, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Genesis. That one shouldn't be difficult to find, right? So we're going to read in Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse number 1. So Genesis chapter 22, beginning with the first verse. I'm going to get rid of that coat while I got a chance. So Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse number 1. And the scripture said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. And God said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And God says to him, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." He saw the mountain peak afar off. "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering," or the wood of the burnt offering, "and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they both of them went together. And Isaac speaks to his father Abraham and said, My father, and Abraham said, Here am I, my son. And Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son," listen to this, "Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And the angel says to him in verse number 12, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right there, and we're going to cease to read, and I ask that you would just pray with me with your heads bowed and ask the Lord for his anointing and ministering the word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity that we have here today to be in the house of God. Thank you for all of these that have gathered here, and we gather in your name. And we thank you for the promise that when we gather in your name, you are in our midst. We have felt your presence. We thank you for that, Lord. We have felt the touch of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. And for that, we are grateful. We come now to the reading of the Word of God, and we come now to the ministry of the Word. And Father, I readily admit of my own ability, I am incapable. I am incapable to share your word with these, but if you will touch me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you will inspire my thoughts, put your word in my mouth, anoint what is spoken through these lips of clay, then, Father, I know the people of God will be blessed and that revelation knowledge will enter our hearts. I pray, Lord, right here, right now, that you give me the unction to function, the unction to minister your word. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, may it rest upon me and enable me. Let it rest upon the hearers this morning that they may hear the word of the Lord and may receive. And as I always pray above all things, I pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the people of God will be edified. And for all of these things, Lord, we will be eternally grateful. And we will thank you for them throughout eternity. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Praise God. So I want to title my message this morning, Meanwhile, on the other side of the mountain. Meanwhile, on the other side of the mountain. Let me just simply begin this morning by reminding us all that there are going to be times in our life when our faith is tested. Has anybody found that to be true? There are going to come some moments in our lives when our faith is tried. Let me just share with you this morning that untested faith is useless. Amen. Untested faith is an unproven faith. Untested faith is not and it cannot be a dependable faith. You will never know what you are made of until you have come under fire and you have had the faith of God rise up in your spirit and you have stood your ground and looked hell right in the eye and said, I know what it looks like, but I still believe God. Amen. There are times when we are going to be tried. There are times that we are going to be tested. The Bible said, and you will find it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter was saying, don't be so bewildered when you wake up one morning and find out that everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Amen. It just is simply going to happen. John chapter 16 and verse number 33, the apostle John said these words, amen, as Jesus spoke them. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. We're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. We're going to have to find out at some point in our life whether our faith will maintain under pressure. Hello? Amen. It's easy for us, and you have heard me speak of this before, but it is easy for us to have faith when all of the bills are paid. No problem. It's easy for us to have faith when we are walking in health and we are healthy and things are well. It's easy to have faith when life seems as though it is on autopilot and everything is working out like it's supposed to. But it's a whole nother ball game to have faith when the bills are due and the checkbook is empty. How many of you ever found too much month at the end of the money? Hello? Been there. Amen. Let me just tell you, amen, it's another thing to have faith when everything that seems as though it could go wrong does go wrong, and there doesn't, you pray and the heavens seem like they are brass, and you, it seemed like your prayer's not getting through, and amen, and you're wringing your hands going, Lord, what am I going to do? That's when you really find out what kind of faith that you have. My mind goes to Job. Amen. Job has lost everything. Lost everything. Lost his home. Lost his family. Lost his health. His wife walked by, said, Job, you're a foolish man. Why don't you just curse God and die? He looked at her and said, you sound like a foolish woman in me. Though God slay me, yet I will trust him. I better settle down. I'm going to knock Mike way out there. Sorry, Mike. It is crucial for us. It is critical for us that when we are being tested and that we are being tried and that our faith is being tested, that we remember that the scripture says that we are to walk by faith. Everybody say, we are to walk by faith. And not by sight. The Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17 says that the just shall live by faith. Amen. We were called to a faith walk. Amen. We were called to a faith walk. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? I mean that it doesn't matter if things are going well or if things seem as though they are falling apart. It doesn't matter if things are going right, amen, or if we are under circumstances and situations where we are being tried. We are to have our hope anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to have a faith that is steadfast, unmovable, and unshakable. Amen. Grounded in him. Our circumstances may look impossible. Our situations may appear as though that we will never be an overcomer. But our text reminds us that God's name is Jehovah Jireh. If you don't take away anything from this service this morning, but that one name, his name is Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means that our God is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It means that God is our provider. And when it feels like I'm losing my sanity sometimes, he provides me peace of mind. When it feels like I'm losing my happiness and my joy, he supplies joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. He is my supply. He is your supply. Jehovah Jireh, our God, our provider. And when we are going through tests and going through struggle and going through trials, we need to remember that God is, amen, God was, and God always will be Jehovah Jireh. And it matters not what we need, but we need to continue to walk in faith, believing God for the outcome and believing that God is able to supply. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, one of the most powerful verses in God's word. Amen. Paul said these words. He said, and we know, let that sink in. I mean, we're not pondering it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many of you here this morning, let's just be brutally honest, how many of you here this morning have gone through some things and you have said to yourself, how can any good come of this? Well, Paul said, and we know, we are confident that all things, really? You mean really all things? Even that bad stuff that I had to muddle through? Can I just tell you, we grow under pressure. We grow, we are just a chunk of coal until the pressure comes and we stand steadfast in our faith. And then we begin to shine like a diamond. We know all things work together, even some of the bad stuff. Amen. Even some of the stuff we don't like, it's still for our good. To them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, beloved, we need to lock our faith into Christ, and come hell, come high water, we have our faith rooted and grounded in him, and we trust in the Lord, amen, and we have faith in our God. And when we have that kind of unshakable faith, then everything works out for our good and according to the purpose of our God. That's where Abraham found himself. Abraham finds himself in the midst of a test. Abraham finds himself in the midst of a trial, not sent by the enemy, sent by God. Not sent by the enemy, but a test sent by God. Let's go to our text. Abraham hears the voice of the Lord. And God says to Abraham, the scripture said, and it came to pass that God would test or tempt Abraham. And it really means test, because the scripture tells us that God tempts no man. God does not tempt any man with evil. But he's testing Abraham's faith. If you look in Genesis chapter 12, you will find that the Bible said that, amen, God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a son. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham said, I believe you, God. And God said, all right, you have my approval. Few years down the road, and now God's going to find out what kind of faith Abraham really has. And God says to Abraham, you remember that son that I told you were going to have, and that through that son, your lineage and your children were going to be as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the sea. Abraham said, yeah, Lord, I remember that. I know that. I know what you're talking about. God said, all right, I want you to take that son. And I want you to take him to a place that I will show you. And there I want you to offer him as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Talk about testing your faith. Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah. What is the land of Moriah? Let me explain to you this morning that the land of Moriah literally is Jerusalem. Moriah is a mountain peak in Jerusalem. So God was telling him, go to Moriah, go to the mountain where future Jerusalem will be. If you follow biblical history, you will find out that this area would be inhabited by the Jebusites, and David, King David, would destroy the Jebusites, and he would take over this area, Jerusalem, and he would make it his capital city. And this goes even pre-Jerusalem. God is saying, take your son, your only son, and go to the land of Moriah. And there on a mountain that I will show you, I want you to offer Isaac your son as a burnt offering. Isaac, the son of promise. Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Do you remember? And you will find it in Genesis chapter 15. God says to Abraham, he says, I'm going to give you a son. Amen. Abraham says, oh, the only heir in my house is this Eleazar. Amen. And God said, no, this is not going to be your heir. But I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham, he says, Lord, amen, shall I have pleasure with my wife? And shall we have a son when we are old? Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old when Isaac is born. This is that child. This is that son of promise. And now God says, arise, take him and offer him as a sacrifice in Moriah on a mountain that I will show you. Abraham, we see his faith. He rises up early in the morning. He chops the wood and he gets ready to prepare a sacrifice for God. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have been running through his mind? Amen. 3 days he travels to go to Moriah. And no doubt those 3 days worth of travel, his mind is going wild. No doubt those 3 days worth of travel, amen, doubt jumped on his shoulder and said, what in the world are you doing? Why are you taking your son to sacrifice him unto God? That wasn't God. That was a nightmare. Hello? And Abraham walks in faith. He believes the commandment of God. He is clear. He may not understand all of the instructions. Amen. But he has confidence in God. He's trusted that God is a loving God. He is trusting that God is a God of wisdom and a God of power. Amen. And that he is just simply walking in obedience. You will read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17. And Hebrews chapter 11 is called the history, or the, I should say, the hall of fame for faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17, it said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him. Abraham's faith was strong and he did not waver in the face of adversity. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20 says it this way. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory unto God and being fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. Abraham knew that God had promised to make of him a great nation. And he knew that that promise would come through Isaac. But even having all of those things and thoughts in his mind, he still prepares the sacrifice. He travels 3 days, and on the third day, he lifts up his eyes and he sees the mountain afar off. Amen. He sees the mountain where he is supposed to offer his son as a sacrifice. He has the wood. He has the knife. He has the fire. He has his son. And there are two others that are with him, and he tells them, you stay here. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That phrase really catches my spirit. Here he is going through the trial of his life. And he says, I am going to worship God. Not only does he say, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, but he had faith and confidence in God because he said, and we will come again. Amen. I may get up there on the mountaintop and literally kill this child, but if I do, I'm simply obeying God, and I believe God will raise him up again. Because we will return unto you. Amen. Let me interrupt my story for just a moment this morning. In the theater of your mind, picture Abraham and Isaac as they are traveling up one side of the mountain. Let me interrupt that story to just tell you what was transpiring on the other side of the mountain. Meanwhile, on the other side of the mountain, there is a ram that woke up one morning feeling a bit frisky. And he wandered away from his flock. And he looked up to the side of this mountain, and he had such a desire to get to the top. Nobody herded him that way. Nobody directed him that way. But he looked up the side of that mountain and said, I feel like climbing. He had a divine appointment. And that lamb began to climb the other side of the mountain. Abraham had no idea what was on the other side of the mountain. Think in terms this morning of a split screen or an aerial view where you're watching two different events about to come together. Abraham is headed up one side and he can't see through the mountain. Amen. But on the other side of the mountain, God has already got the answer on the way. Hey, I came to tell you this morning, you may be climbing your mountain and you may not be able to see through your mountain, but honey, hold on with faith. God already has the answer on the way. Hallelujah. Don't you know it delighted God to look down and have an aerial view? And here's Abraham coming up one side, going through a test, going through a trial, said, I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. And God said, all right, I know you believe me. I'm going to send a substitute because I really don't want you to, amen, slay your son. And he sends a ram up the hill, and the answer starts climbing, amen, because it had a divine appointment, amen, at a divine time to meet up with Abraham. I come to tell you this morning, some of you are going through situations and going through circumstances, and you feel like you are climbing a mountain, amen, and you feel like you are struggling to obey God. Amen. I came to tell you, you may not be able to see through your mountain with the natural eye, but look with the eyes of faith. The answer is already on the way up the other side. God is Jehovah Jireh, and he will provide for you. Hallelujah. You may be climbing your mountain this morning thinking, amen, amen, oh God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to transpire. I feel like I'm under pressure. Let me just tell you, keep on climbing, keep on striving, keep on believing, keep on walking, keep on having your hand in the Lord. Amen. And when you get to the top of the mountain, you may have to put the knife in your hand and bind Isaac to the altar. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, just in the right time, amen, God will send the answer. The Bible said that in the dueness of time, or in the fullness of time, God's answer will come to you. Amen, amen. I can tell you this morning, look not through the mountain with the eyes of the natural, but look at it in the eyes of faith. God will never send you in. Let that sink into your spirit. God will never send you into a situation that he does not have the provision to provide you a way out. Amen. God will not send you into a test that he doesn't already have the answer for. Let me give you an example. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 14. God has delivered the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage. They leave Egypt wealthy, blessed, and march out of the city of the cities of Egypt following Moses, and they are having themselves a Jericho march. I mean, they are singing a song of victory. The Bible said it wasn't a feeble one among them. And God says, and you can read it in Exodus chapter 14, God spoke and said to Moses, "This is where I want you to camp, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. That's where I want you to park. I want you to set up camp between Migdol and the sea." And this is what God said to Moses. He said, "And Pharaoh will say, they are entangled in the wilderness." In other words, Pharaoh will think they don't know what they are doing. "And I will come after them." God said, "I want you to camp here. And Pharaoh will say this." And God said, "And I will harden his heart and he will come after you." Holy Ghost set up. The whole problem was a God thing. Devil didn't have anything to do with it. God set the whole thing up. And this is what God said. He said, "And when Pharaoh comes after you, I am going to get me some glory. I am going to prove to you and everybody around you that I am God." And that's exactly what they did. They camped between Migdol and the sea, right up against Baal-Zephon. And if you know the layout of that land, really they were surrounded with mountains on all sides except one, and the Red Sea on the other. They were boxed in. They were closed up. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh said, "Why have I let them go?" And so he gets all of his chariots, and you can read it there in the 14th chapter. It's at all 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt. So there's 600 plus chariots. Josephus, the first century historian, says that there were over 200,000 foot soldiers and over 50,000 horsemen. This is a mighty army, and they are simply boxed in with the mountains and the Red Sea and nowhere to go, and God set the whole thing up. And the children of Israel begin to complain. "Oh, you brought us out here to die. Would to God we'd have just stayed in Egypt." The Lord said, Moses cries out to the Lord. The Lord says, "Listen. Stretch out your rod. That's all you got to do. You don't have to fight. You don't have to pick up a sword. You don't have to pick up a spear. You don't have to pick up a shield. All you got to do is lift up your rod. And the enemies who you see today, you will see no more again forever." Moses stands, lifts up his rod. And one of the greatest miracles in Old Testament history, the water parts. The water part, literally the Red Sea parted. And if that wasn't enough, the Bible said, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. That's a pretty amazing thing right there. They get on the other side. Pharaoh said, "If you can do it, I can do it. Here I come." They got right in the middle of the sea, right out in the middle of that opening, and God said to Moses, "Turn around and stretch forth your rod again," and the water that had parted collapsed. And there wasn't one Egyptian soldier that survived. I said, God will not ever send you into a situation that he doesn't already have the way out figured out. Here comes Here comes Abraham up the side of the mountain, trusting in the Lord, believing God. Meanwhile, on the other side of the mountain, a little ram is picking up the speed and heading for the top because he knows he's got a date with destiny. He's the answer to someone's prayer. He's the answer to someone's prayer. Not only the answer to Abraham's prayer, but let me just tell you something. He was the answer to fulfill the purpose of God. Abraham gets to the top of the mountain. He builds an altar. He puts the wood on the altar. I wonder what was going through Isaac's mind. Excuse me. Firewood, knife, no lamb. I know you said God would provide a lamb, but I see no lamb. His father, now get this, his father takes him, lays him upon the altar, and binds him to the altar. Picks up the knife, and he is so intent on obeying God that the angel of the Lord had to call his name not once but twice. Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Don't harm the child. And God says to him, now I know. Now I know what kind of faith you have. Now I know, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son. Now I know that you believe in me. Now I know that you have faith. And he says, stay your hand and do no harm to the boy. And Abraham stays the knife and he hears a ram caught in the thicket behind him. And he goes and takes that ram and slays it and puts it upon the altar. And he says, God, Jehovah Jireh, has provided him a lamb. And if you read it there in our text, in the old Hebrew, it said, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of, as it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What shall be seen? God says to Abraham, now I know, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I know your faith, and I will provide a lamb for you. And Abraham calls the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Fast forward through thousands of years. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. The one who John the Baptist looked down the banks of the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb. God said, I will provide me a lamb. And God provided his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus would be crucified in Moriah, in Jerusalem, upon the same mountaintops where Isaac was offered. God indeed provided himself a lamb. I came to tell you this morning that God is our provider. And you may be climbing up one side of your mountain, and because you don't have an aerial view or a split screen view of what God is up to, doesn't mean that God isn't up to something good. It doesn't mean that God doesn't already have a plan. It doesn't mean that the answer is not already on the way. Keep climbing. Keep faithful, be steadfast, be unmovable. And when when you get to the right top, amen, and you get to the right spot at just the right time, God will come through. Hallelujah. Just in the nick of time. Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Amen. I've often said, I have always said, God is never late. And I have often said, but he's missed many opportunities to be early. Have you found that to be true? According to my schedule, I would have loved to have had an answer way back there. But he's never failed me. He's never let me down. Amen. I came to tell you that on the other side of your mountain this morning, on the other side of your mountain, there is an answer with a divine destiny, and it's on its way. Some of you here this morning are climbing mountains. Some of you here this morning, amen, feel faint and weary. I came to tell you this morning, faith is useless unless it's been tested. Faith is useless unless it's been tried. Amen. When God tests us and God tries us, the Bible said that when we come through it, we come forth as pure gold. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning that faith must be tried, but when our faith is true and we hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, knowing that he is faithful, who promised when we get to the right place at the right time, we'll find that the answer is already there. Bow your heads, please, this morning, and let me try and close. Meanwhile, on the other side of the mountain, but Pastor Gary, I don't see an answer. Meanwhile, on the other side of your mountain, meanwhile, on the other side of your situation, meanwhile, on the other side of your circumstance, meanwhile, on the other side of your testing ground, God has an answer. It's already on the way. If we faint not, if we faint not. This morning, there are some of you that are struggling with mountain experiences. God wanted me to tell you the answer is on the way. Don't faint. Keep walking. Be like Abraham, stagger not at the promises of God. Be faithful to God. Be faithful unto the Lord. Be faithful to his word. Keep your hand in his hand. When you get to the top of the mountain and you get to the place where it's needed the most, that's when God will come through. And the reason that God sometimes waits till the last moment is because if we got it any sooner, we would be so arrogant to think that we did it on our own. God waits oftentimes to the very last moment so that we know there wasn't no way and no how. It had to be God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, our hearts are looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, I don't know the mountains that these your people, or those that will listen by way of the internet, I don't know the mountains that they are climbing. But what I am confident of is that you have been, you are, and you will forever be Jehovah Jireh. You are God, our provider. And whether we have a physical need, a spiritual need, a financial need, an emotional need, whatever the need may be, oh God, you have the provision for all of our needs. By faith, Lord, we put one foot in front of the other. We're holding fast to your hand. We are walking in obedience unto your word like Abraham. And Father, we are climbing our mountain, and Lord, we are just simply trusting that on the other side of our mountain, the answer is on the way. And that at the right time, God will meet us at our point of need. I pray, Father, this morning that these that are here, that you will just simply speak to their hearts and let them know that the word that has been spoken this morning is a revelation of God, and it is a divine word from the Holy Spirit, and that you stand ready to provide and minister to their need. I ask these things, Lord, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I'm climbing a mountain myself this morning. I see your hand and 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 yours. Amen. Is there anyone else you'd say, that's me? Those of you that slipped up your hands, just stand to your feet. Come and stand right here in front of the house of the Lord. Let's pray together, all right? Just come. Stand up on your feet. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want the opportunity to pray specifically with you. Amen, amen. The rest of you, please stand up on your feet. Lift your hands this way. Those of you that are there in your seats, just lift your hands this way. The Bible said that we are to pray one for another. And this morning, we're going to uphold our brothers and our sisters with a word of prayer. Oh God, Father, we thank you that your word has touched our hearts. And Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. And we thank you that you can provide. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that your arm is not short and your ear is not heavy, and there is nothing too hard for you. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, as we pray for these that have come, that Lord, you will begin to strengthen them, and that you will begin to let them have the eyes of faith to look through the mountain and understand that you didn't bring them this far to drop them now. You didn't bring them this far to let them down. But oh God, the answer is on the way. That the answer is coming. By faith, we can see the answer. By faith, we believe the word of God. By faith, we hang on to the promises of the Lord. By faith, we receive our healing. By faith, Lord, we receive emotional strength. By faith, we receive a spiritual renewal. Lord God, in Jesus' name, break, I pray, Lord, the bands of the enemy. Send the answer into their lives, I ask, O Lord. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah.